I think there's just a lot of conversations you can have with baseball. And I like to have them occasionally with Mike Wilner, who now joins us on the line, I believe. Are you there, Michael?
I think so.
Hey, good for you. Did you hear what I was saying earlier?
Just this part right here about Jose Bautista and Mickey Mantle.
No, I'm just saying the baseball lends itself to, because this whole DH to the NL thing, which I think we've even had that conversation a few 75,000 times. It just seems like baseball is a sport unlike any other where you can have, there's more conversations surrounding the game that are just fun to have more than any other sport. And I said, I am biased, but that doesn't mean I'm wrong.
No, and I don't think you're wrong. And I think the fact that the game really hasn't changed much over the last 100 years has a whole lot to do with that. I mean, people like to compare players across eras. You talk about with, you know, Mickey Mantle, what would he do today, Willie Mays and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can kind of imagine that it was pretty much the same. And it's pretty much the same.
I guess.
Throw the ball, hit the ball. But there are a lot of different things. Like, back then, they saw pitchers 3 and 4 times a game, every game.
That's right.
You knew each other really, really well because you played each other so often and there was no travel. And certainly like it is now. There's a lot of differences, but you know, you look at the NHL and they overhaul the rules every couple of years.
Yeah.
Football changes stuff too. And basketball, is there a 3-point line? Is there not a 3-point line? Is there, you know, offensive 3 seconds, a defensive, all these things that they've,
illegal
they,
defense.
They change over the years, right? The illegal defense isn't so illegal anymore.
Yeah.
Baseball hasn't done that. So I think it does make it easier to have those discussions.
Actually, this kind of spurred something in my mind. A couple of weeks ago, I was going back and forth with I started following an account. I think it was like Dead Ball Baseball or something, tweeting out some stats from the Dead Ball era of baseball, talking about, oh, Walter Johnson threw this machine. They calculated his fastball at like 100 miles an hour. That's the one thing I have a tough time with. I don't think, you know, I don't think Walter Johnson threw 100 miles an hour. I really don't.
Well, and, you know, how did they time Bob Feller's fastball? With a guy on a motorcycle.
Right.
Who drove past him out when he let go of the ball.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that sort of stuff is very easy to dismiss. And the same stuff, like, I can't believe they're talking about Willie Mays' defensive war. Like, they have any idea.
No.
First of all, defensive war is a whole issue unto itself.
Yeah.
But
we don't even know what it is. Like, for players playing right now, we're still undecided on it.
But even only in the last 5 or 10 years have they really started to break the diamond down into quadrants and measuring stuff like that. They have no idea.
No.
And yet they still talk about it like it's a thing. So,
no, it's impossible. Yeah. You can't. So how was Ottawa?
Ottawa was very cool. It wasn't nearly as cold as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And the night at Zaphod Beeblebrox was very good.
I don't know what that is.
That was the bar we did the pitch talk.
Oh, okay. Very good. So how many of these pitch talks things have you done?
Zaphod Beeblebrox was a character in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, okay.
I'm surprised you don't... didn't know that.
No, I didn't read it. I didn't see the movie either. I've never attended one of these pitch talk things either.
You ought to.
I know. I've heard good things about them. But yeah, they're fun, right? Like, what do you just... Like, is there any order? Like, who runs the thing? Is it just questions, Q&A?
No. There's a panel. There are panel discussions. And last night there was a panel about the very interestingly named Ottawa Champions team from the Independent Can-Am League. They had a couple of guys from there. They haven't actually won anything, but
they're the champions. Yeah, okay.
So that's what they've chosen. It's better than the last team that played in Ottawa, which was the Fat Cats, I guess.
But the Inter-County League. Well, the Lynx.
Yeah, but the Fat Cats and Champions, which would you rather be named?
Yeah, I don't know. That's
I don't know either.
Tough question.
Well, Champions, if you're actually a champion, I guess.
Yeah.
But so they had there was a panel for them, and it was moderated by Brendan Kennedy of the Star. And then they brought us up, and it was me and Scott MacArthur and Richard Griffin and Dow of Steve.
Yeah.
And Brendan Kennedy moderated, and just basically the five of us shot the breeze, as it were, for a good half hour, and then we took questions from the audience for another hour, and it was terrific.
That sounds fun. So Tao, now you pronounce it Tao. Tao.
Because that's how he pronounces it. So
okay.
Yes.
All right. So on Twitter, he's you don't. He's never shown his face. Like, nope. I don't know what he looks like, but
there's a picture of him from last night.
Really?
There's a picture of the panel. He's in there.
Okay. So what's his deal? Does he still work in some capacity for Sportsnet?
I think he still. I don't know if he actually ever worked for Sportsnet.
Well, he wrote some stuff.
Yeah, he wrote every once in a while. I think he still might write every once in a while. I believe he still does, but you know, he has a normal life with. A real job and a wife and child and
weird.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, we're in the circles you run in talking about baseball to people that work in this industry, it is interesting to know that there are people, you know, bloggers and the like Dow of Steve, who just do this kind of in their free time, I guess. They have real lives. That seems interesting. I don't know.
Well, that's how all this whole blogger thing started, right?
Yeah, I guess.
People who weren't in the industry, who felt they had something to say, and it continues, right? Some of them have kind of gotten sucked in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The good ones obviously have a lot of readers, and I don't know if really anyone's able to monetize that sort of stuff yet. But yeah, Dow has been great from the beginning. Andrew Stoughton, who started Drunk Jays Fans through Fair Service.
Yep.
And unfortunately, I don't think Stoughton's going to be writing for the Post anymore, which is too bad. But
because nobody is anymore.
Right, exactly. So, you know, hopefully these guys started for the love of the deal, and they continue for the love of the deal.
What was the majority of the time, at least among yourselves before the Q&A started, what was the topic of conversation mostly surrounding? Because I imagine it was all Blue Jays discussion, or at least mostly.
Yeah, no, it was all Blue Jays discussion.
Right. So what is it looking forward to the outlook for this team in 2016? Is it Mark Shapiro? Is it Aaron Sanchez to the rotation? What did you spend the most time talking about?
I think we spent the most time talking about the winter and the direction of the franchise and looking beyond 2016, really, because I think everyone really thinks that in 2016, hopefully everybody thinks it's going to be a really good team. It is going to be a really good team in 2016. The question is what happens after 2016.
Mm-hmm.
When Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion and Brett Cecil and Drew Storen are free agents, and how the team approaches that and what's going to be.
It is an interesting question, because I've tried to roll that over around in my head as well. But I think most people understand that this team, at least starting off, on opening day, it's going to be better than it was on opening day of 2015, and they won the division in 2015. Now they were 50-51, and it took some big additions at the non-waiver trade deadline to get it done. But and certainly the division is probably better than it was a year ago, although maybe not. Maybe the Orioles are worse, maybe the Rays are worse, and maybe the Red Sox and Yankees haven't made the strides that it appears they've made, and the Yankees haven't signed a free agent. Like, they're the only team in Major League Baseball that hasn't signed a free agent, which is kind of crazy, but they added a big-time arm to the back of their bullpen. But yeah, looking ahead to 2017, I have a tough time imagining that both Edwin Encarnacion and Jose Bautista sign extensions and are both back in 2017. I think in the rosiest scenario I can think of, one of them is back. But do you still think it's possible both of them are back?
It's possible, but I think the most likely outcome is that neither of them are back. Really,
yeah.
I think that's going to be the big issue for the Blue Jays to deal with in the off season is next off season. But I don't want, you know, I don't want us to miss the beautiful trees for the big forest, right?
Right, but we can talk about big we don't have games to talk about, Mike, so we can talk bigger picture.
Yeah, and you know, I think when it comes down to it, unless Rodgers is willing to infuse a whole lot more money into this team,
mm-hmm.
the likeliest scenario is that the Blue Jays do lose all of Bautista, Encarnacion, and Storen in the off season. Now, Storen, if he goes out and has a great year and his walk year, and obviously there's motivation to do that, can help the Blue Jays out by being good enough for them to issue him a qualifying offer, though that's
I
really
can't
tough
imagine
with closers.
That.
Yeah, yeah. And again, we don't know how Mark Shapiro and how Ross Atkins want to deal with these things. So it's not going to be easy, but we'll learn over the course of the year about about how and what they do, and we'll see what happens.
So Aaron Sanchez wants to be a starter. It shouldn't be news. I mean, I thought there were rumblings of this before. Maybe he hadn't said explicitly he was trying his hand at doing whatever it takes to be a guy that can throw 200 innings, can make 30 starts, but he did come out and say it, and Marcus Stroman had some nice things to say, and we heard about the pounds being piled on, which is always fun. But that does... I mean, if he is really all in as far as being a starter in the starting rotation, and certainly he'll do whatever's asked of him, it makes you think about what could be with this rotation. And yeah, it's all rosy at this point because, you know, you don't have your obligatory injury, which will happen in spring training. There's always somebody that goes down, and certainly throughout the course of a regular season, you're going to need way more than five starters. But if everybody plays to their career norms, and Aaron Sanchez can do something similar to what he did in those four starts before he went down last year, that's kind of scary with that offense, Mike. And Mike's gone. I was just talking to myself for the last 30 seconds. Oh, no, there. I just heard you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello?
Every once in a while, weird things happen with this phone. So
okay,
apologies.
All right. But you heard what I had to say there?
Yeah, everything. And okay. And I think, you know, with the offense and the defense that the Blue Jays have, and especially the defense, pitching just has to be okay, you know. And I said it a whole bunch last year with the offense, and then they got Troy Tulowitzki, and now the defense is pretty airtight. You know, where do the Blue Jays have a below-average defender? Right field, and he makes up for it with his arm if he's healthy, and that's it. Everywhere else, they're mostly well above average.
Mm. Depends if how much Michael Saunders is playing in left field and how healthy he is and how he's moving around with that knee. I think.
Yeah, he says he's moving around fine, but if he's not, then you know he's not going to be able to play. So if what he says is true, then they'll be above average defensively in left field. And if Saunders can't do it and Pompey plays left field, then they'll be way above average defensively in left field. So the defense helps this team out a ton, helps the pitching out a ton. Sanchez does not have to be as good as he was those last.
He was really good.
He was probably their best starter in those last three or four turns through the rotation. But that's a lot to hang on a guy who's still, I think, 23 years old until Canada Day, maybe 24.
His birthday's Canada Day?
Yeah, birthday's Canada Day.
Wow. I mean, he has to spend his entire career with this organization, you would think.
It'd be nice. They'd love to have him, for sure. I think that he has to start, really.
Yeah.
You know, especially with the things he's been saying, with the things Marcus Stroman's been saying. Stroman, you know, if Sanchez isn't a starter, and if he starts the season in AAA, which some people are kicking around, Stroman will throw a fit.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't want that happening either. And I think Sanchez can help this team as one of their five starters. And that way you got Jesse Chavez as your long man, swing man, sort of Carlos Villanueva type. And that helps the bullpen out a little bit as well. And Sanchez has that top of the rotation potential.
Yeah, you mentioned the AAA thing. That was Shy that wrote that, was it not?
I think Shy might have talked about it. I know Bob McCown's talked about it. A few people have kicked it around.
Does that make any sense to you?
Maybe. You know, if you want him to continue to start and you want to keep an eye on his innings and you want, you know, you don't really, I don't know.
No, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Keep developing a little bit. Because he's got to learn some stuff.
Sure.
As a starting pitcher, right? But, I mean, I'm certainly not going to start him in Buffalo. But I don't think there's a zero chance that that happens.
I don't understand how that makes sense for a team that's expected to make the playoffs, that won a division a year ago, to keep one of its best young pitchers in AAA, even if it's for a month or a couple of starts. Just we know how important every single game is in Major League Baseball. Even though you play 162 of them, you can't be giving them away. Close the door or put your seatbelt on. Do something.
Yeah, everything is. I'm just sitting here in the passenger seat as we pick up my lovely daughter, so
okay.
The car noises should be done for now.
All right.
But yeah, look, the argument to be made is that Aaron Sanchez is still kind of, you know, figuring things out as a starter. He had what, seven starts in AAA and, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 in the big leagues, there's still work to be done for
him. Of course.
And you don't want him drowning trying to figure it out at the major league level. And, you know, when you say you can't give games away, you may be better off in April with Jesse Chavez in your rotation than with Sanchez. And that's the argument that could be made for starting him in Buffalo. But I don't think that that's going to happen.
Yeah, we're on the same side of the fence here, so I won't push it too hard because I know you're just kind of like making you're being devil's advocate here.
Well, I'm just trying to explain what people will say if that's what winds up happening.
Yeah, I don't get it. Because you can still back off it. If it doesn't work out, and last year was a different scenario because it was working out for those four starts until he got hurt. But if it doesn't work out, he's shown that he's a guy that, you know what, you can bump him back to the bullpen and he's not going to melt down. He's not going to have a hissy fit or he's not going to lose his A-plus fastball when you move him back there. So that's why I just don't see the risk. Yeah, certainly, like it was looking bad there first part of the season there for Aaron Sanchez in the rotation because the guy couldn't throw a strike. At that point, I thought, yeah, okay, this was not the way to go. If that's the same case in this season, if he continues to be unable to find the strike zone and you just can't handle it anymore, bringing in relievers in the fifth and sixth innings, then you can put him back in the bullpen. I don't see there's no assurances, even if he starts the season in AAA, that he returns to the major leagues as a starter, that he's like a great starter. And so, I mean, if there's no assurances either way, might as well try him at the major league level because the potential upside is much greater, in my opinion.
That's not an unreasonable argument, but, you know, there's that argument can be made for younger pitchers, too, who still need seasoning time. So the thing with Sanchez is, though, if again, you have to throw him back in the bullpen, if he fails, then he's probably done as a starter.
Yeah.
He's going to be a reliever for the rest of his
career.
Maybe.
And that still might be the case. Like, I'm not ruling that out. And he's a great reliever. It's not like you're asset is diminished all that much, although I think we all understand that 200 innings is more valuable than 70. Munenori Kawasaki's gone, and I don't want to dwell too much on it, but I do want to say my piece on Munenori in that he is, like, people, he's more than just a mascot. Like, he did the occasional thing, okay? He could at least play shortstop, not well. I don't even know if he could play it adequately, but he did play it. Second base, and he could take a walk. Like, the guy has very limited natural ability. I will grant that. And I mean, I don't know how you could argue the other side of it. But he did
the fact that he's a major.
Yeah, okay, but compared to other major leaguers, I mean, did we lose you? Or did your phone just do its thing?
Yeah, no, the phone just acted.
Okay, there you go.
Relative to his peers, he has limited ability.
Yes.
Relative to the general population, he's spectacular.
Of course. Present company very much included.
Yes.
But I think the narrative has turned into this guy was only on the 40-man roster because he was a mascot. No team can afford to do that, especially a team that won an American League East Division title a year ago, and he played.
Yeah, but he didn't contribute much. You're right, he did things, but everybody does things. A guy who hits .150 is going to get, you know, a hit and a half every 10 times he comes to the plate. So he's going to be on base.
He was not the worst offensive player on that team. That's what I'm saying.
Wasn't he?
No. There was a long stretch of pretty
empty 220. He walked a bit.
Yeah.
No power to speak of at all.
No.
And he's below average defender everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's an argument to be made that there were better than even Josh Toley, that there were better.
Maybe last year was a bad example. Maybe I'm just talking about a stretch of time. There was a stretch of time early in the season where Kevin Pillar was like had the worst OPS among everyday players.
Yep.
Where he
still better than Kawasaki's.
It
was.
Well, okay,
there was a run last year in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Going into, I want to say, the middle of August,
mm-hmm.
Kawasaki was hitting .290. And in almost 200 at-bats, mm-hmm. he was hitting .290, and he was walking, and he was doing really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just hit the wall and was done and wound up with terrible numbers at the end of the season. Look, he's a Major League Baseball player. He is a fringe Major League Baseball player.
Yeah.
But he'll take a walk, he'll grind out an at-bat, and people love to have him around. It's tough to say he's not an easy out, or like he's a difficult out, because his on-base is only like 310, so he gets out a lot. But he is tough to get out.
Yeah.
Though, again, he gets out a lot.
He just said the opposite thing. Well,
the end result is that he winds up getting out a lot, but getting there isn't always all that easy.
No. And especially,
value in that.
And there's one thing, I mean, having a 310 on base when you hit 277 like Kevin Pillar, and there's having a 310 on base when you hit like 210, which is what Muninori Kawasaki did.
Right.
So anyways, I feel like the narrative went too far that he was just complete nothing in Major League Baseball.
There's really, that's not a guy who should be on your roster if you have designs on a championship.
Sure.
Which is why he wasn't on the playoff roster.
Yes. Granted. And he will be missed. And I don't know, maybe his act wore thin a little bit by the end. I enjoyed him. He was fun.
I enjoyed him too. He was completely genuine. This isn't a guy who's, mugging at a camera or looking for attention or anything like that. He was completely genuine in all the antics.
Yeah, and we interviewed him together once on the now defunct video podcast.
This week video podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun.
We miss it terribly.
Yes, we
do. If anyone wants to bring it back.
Yeah.
Hands up.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Private citizens included, I guess, yeah.
That's right.
Okay, before we go, I mentioned this.
Sponsored by Pitch Dog.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? I'll be at the State of the French Fries, by the way, next week with you.
I will not be there. You're going to have to.
Oh, is that why I'm there?
Load by yourself. I think so.
Where are you going to be?
I am going away for a week, taking a well-earned going away.
Ah, good for you. You've been busy this offseason. Hawaii.
It's been
a
busy offseason, yeah.
All right, good for you. All right, so.
It's not the state. I mean, we'll still call it the State of the French Fries, but they're calling it the leadoff.
No, I know. Whatever it's called. Either way, I'll be there on Wednesday. Is it Wednesday or is it Thursday?
Thursday, I think.
Thursday, okay. Either way.
Yeah. Next Thursday.
Yeah, not this week from Thursday. So I started this whole thing off by talking about DH in the National League and how Major League Baseball is such a fun sport to have conversations about different things and comparing different eras and all that. And you talked about how the NHL changes rules all the time. There was one major rule change in Major League Baseball that happened 40 years ago. The DH, the American League, and it's only been in one league since its inception, but things are happening, Mike, and the CBA is up for negotiation in a year, and hopefully there's no issues with the amount of cash that's being thrown around. You figure they can divvy it up, but that's a conversation for another day. But that's the only way they can change the rule is through collective bargaining, because it does mean dollars in players' pockets, because that's a position that gets paid a lot, a DH, and we've seen that. And there's career DHs who've made a ton of money in their careers. It seems like now it's almost fait accompli that we will have both leagues with the DH. And I'm going to guess through the conversations that we've had that makes you happy.
Well, there's certainly a lot of chatter about it. But the fact that we're talking about it and that the media is talking about it a lot certainly doesn't mean that it's a fait accompli by any means.
But no, you read some of the quotes and Rob Manfred saying that the momentum is shifting.
Well, it's shifting, but, sometimes it can move in a glacial fashion, right? So it could take a while. They could say at the end of this year with the new CBA, DH is in and we're going to cut back to 154 games or whatever.
Oh, my God.
Who knows? But the DH is something the players want. So, because like you said, DHs make more money than the regular 25th guy on a roster. So in order for the DH to come in, the players are going to have to give the owners something that they want,
which is,
and we don't know what that's going to be. But it certainly is possible. And yeah, it does make me happy because I'm sick of seeing pitchers hit, to be honest. I mean, 40, 50 years ago, pitchers actually worked on it, took pride in it, were good at it. Some of them, at least, were good at it. Some are good at it now, but now when you get a good hitting pitcher, other than maybe the top two guys out there, a guy who hits 140 is a good hitting pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And they generally don't have a chance. And how is that fun? I don't understand where the enjoyment is watching a guy who's clearly overmatched and has almost no chance of being successful. Yeah, occasionally he gets the bat on the ball, and sure, they can lay down a bunt to be productive in getting themselves out on purpose instead of just flailing away out there. But I honestly don't enjoy watching pitchers hit. And I don't really know how anybody does, except for, you know,
the occasional ones that can hit.
Three games that a good hitting pitcher is going to manage to get himself on base.
I'll miss seeing David Price in interleague play hit. I'll miss Madison Bumgarner is a good hitter.
And Yovani Gallardo was
Zach Greinke.
I looked at his numbers and I thought, oh wow, he's not a good hitter.
Yeah, Greinke for a pitcher,
Bumgarner can hit.
Yeah,
and it is amazingly fun watching Bartolo Colon try.
Oh my God, yeah,
but
so good.
That's about it.
Who was the greatest Blue Jays pitcher with the bat? Like Roy Halladay wasn't bad. R.A. Dickey's pretty good.
Roy Halladay wasn't bad. Wasn't good.
Though. Sean Markham.
Todd Stottlemyre.
Yeah.
Not
the greatest base runner, but yeah.
In Montreal, right? Mark Hendrickson is still
yes.
the only Blue Jay pitcher, I think, to ever hit a home run.
Greatest basketball player the Blue Jays ever had as well?
Danny Ainge, I think, would argue that.
Mm. In the major leagues.
Yeah. What?
Danny Ainge played in the... What?
Wait, he played in the major leagues with Blue Jays.
Okay.
Wow.
All right.
Steve Schrader is the greatest quarterback the Blue Jays have ever had, I think. But he never played in the major league.
Casey Jansen, we never got to see him swing the bat, but apparently he was a pretty good hitter.
Yeah, and Sean Markham fancied himself a good hitter. Drew Hutchison's a pretty good hitter.
Yeah.
Don't sleep on Drew. But he hit 500 last year, the year before.
Sergio Santos.
Should be, yeah.
Yeah, he should be.
Those days are gone. It would have been fun to see Markham or Jansen do a little bit more hitting. But again, fun just to see how they can not embarrass themselves like everybody else. Most other pitchers embarrass themselves when they come up to the plate. So it's fine with me if there are no free outs and if...
Because there's no free lunches.
30
yeah.
hitting, eight hitters don't get walked just because there are two outs and the pitcher's up next. That would be fine with me.
Before we go, Sean Markham thing. I mean, it raised the fact that he retired this week. Do you have any
yep.
parting thoughts for Sean Markham? Because he's a guy I enjoyed his work when he was healthy. That was the issue throughout his career was staying healthy. Great changeup, but for a guy who did not throw upper 90s to have the career he did, pretty impressive.
Yeah, when he stayed healthy, he was solid, and he deserved a little bit better, I think. I had totally forgotten when I was writing that Marcus Stroman column, about that he's probably going to be the opening day starter and how many have there been since Doc left. I'd totally forgotten that Sean Markham was Blue Jays opening day starter.
He was?
2010.
Really?
The year after they traded Doc and before they traded him for Lurie. See, you had forgotten too. And,
yeah.
And, he was really good.
Yes,
and
he was.
I think he had a season where he took four or five no-hitters into the fifth inning or something. He was a bulldog out there, an incredible competitor. And it's just too bad that he couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah. But still put together a pretty nice career, and made a couple of ducats doing it. And it seems happy as well. So he will be missed. Michael, you'll be missed at the State of the French Fries. I'll do my best to honor your memory. Although you're not dead. You're having a good time.
You never know. I mean, it's still 10 days
Don't be
away.
Morbid. Don't be morbid. Don't be weird. All right. Well, continue to enjoy the off season, Michael. And less than a month now, pitchers and catchers. Can you believe that?
It's gone by real quick. It's weird for us to have worked into October. We're not used to
having
a long season like that. But, baseball will be back soon. And hopefully all the crap about this off season, all the disappointment for a lot of the fans will go away as soon as the smell of the grass and the crack of the bat and all that stuff happens.
Mm, yeah, the fake grass.
Not down there.
Oh, yes. That's real grass. Of course, it'll all return, though, if they go 5-20 in April. But that's another matter.
Lots of things are going to change if they go 5-20 in April.
Thank you, Michael.
Bye-bye.